we were saying al-Imam al-Nawawi, he said, an-nazar fi al-mushaf ibadah. Looking in the mushaf and reading from it is worshipping Allah. It is an act of ibadah. An-nazar fi al-mushaf ibadah. Also, it causes you to be certain of what you are reading. Many people, when they are hafiz of the Quran, they may be reading a surah and they are not sure have they said the ayah right or wrong. If they are not sure, they should be reading from the Quran unless they are practicing their memorization. But if you are not practicing the memorization, read from the mushaf, for it is ibadah. Also, reading the Quran in a group. Meaning not everyone reading at the same voice. For this is something that the majority of al-ulama have shown is bid'ah. Never did the Prophet ﷺ gather the Sahaba and all of them read at the same time. For example, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. All of them together. This was not from the habit of the Prophet ﷺ. The way the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ used to do, one of them would recite and the rest would listen. And then he would stop and the next person would recite and they would listen. And this is what is intended, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see a group of people coming baytun fi baytun min buyutillah yatluna kitab Allah, reading the book of Allah, wa yatadarasuna, and studying it. So this is the intended meaning. Not all of them reading together. So these are the things that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and you with, and to make us from those who are successful. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me from those who do what we have said before anyone else. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He is not to gather us again in the dunya, to gather us once again in the Jannah with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم مجاهد، we will end now inshallah. جزاك الله خير. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. The reason I try to end is because our brothers, you know, they are long distance charges and things like this. So we try to make the lecture as short as possible and with as much benefit, inshallah. But since we have time with you, alhamdulillah, this is something that we are pleased with. So we say, we continue with our discussion about the Qur'an. And mentioning also some of the merits of the Qur'an is that when you recite the Qur'an, this is not something that only you get reward for. Yani, it's not just you who get a thawab min Allah. It is also your parents. حين تحفظ القرآن, when you memorize the Qur'an, your parents will also be given great honor by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Hassan Hadith narrated by Imam al-Tabrani, he said, on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall bring the parents of a person who memorized the Qur'an وَعَمِلَ بِهِ and lived his life according to it. Not just memorized it, but memorized it and lived his actions with it. What will they receive? They will be brought in front of the Ummah, in front of all the nations. فَيُقْسَوْمْ, they shall be given حُلَّة, jewelry, bracelets, الْقَرَامَة, bracelets of honor, وَتَاجَ الْقَرَامَة, and a crown of honor, ضَوْءُهُ يَغْلِبُ ضَوْءَ الشَّمْسِ, the brightness of the crown is brighter than the sun. Which is for who? Not the prophet, but his parents. Not for the one who read the Quran and memorized it, but the, his parents. سيقول بما تفين هذا. They shall ask, because they will look in their book, and they shall look and they shall see, what have they done to get this? بما تفين هذا. What have we done to gain this blessing, Ya Allah? سيقال بأخذ ولدكم القرآن. Because your son took the Quran, meaning memorized and lived with the Quran. So this is something that you are to strive for. And also we know that in the Jannah are levels, darajat. The lowest level we have already described to you on different occasions, as Musa heard from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the person in the lowest level in the Jannah will be given 50 times the kingdom of the richest king, and whatever he asks for will be his, as is in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. But the higher you are in the Jannah shall be also according to the ayat that you have memorized. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall say, اقرأ وارقى. Recite ayah after ayah. Every ayah you know, you shall be raised in the Jannah a level. فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَتَكَ. For the place that you will stop, عِنْدَ آخِرِ آيَةٍ فَقَرْهَا, shall be at the final place that you recite. Equally though, we notice that because a person learns the Qur'an, and learns the ahadith, and learns fiqh, this does not guarantee him that he shall not be punished by Allah. Listen to the hadith narrated by Imam Abi Hurairah in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ النَّاسِ يُقْضَى عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The first people that will be brought to the fire and entered in the fire, رَجُلٌ قَاتَلَ وَاسْتُشْهِدْ. A man who fought jihad and became a martyr, died on the battlefield, fighting jihad. فَأُتِيَ بِهِ. On the Day of Judgment he will be brought in front of Allah, and Allah shall show him his blessings that he gave him. I gave you life, I gave you wealth, I gave you power. فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا. What did you do with all that we gave you? He shall say, قَاتَلْتُ فِي سَبِيلِكَ حَتَّى اسْتُشْهِدْ. Oh Allah, I fought until I died in your way. قَالَ كَذَا. You are lying. Why? Allah يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows what you do not see and what is in the hearts of other people. The man will say, I fought for you, O Allah. Allah shall tell him, you lie. قَاتَلْتُ لِيُقَالَ هُوَ جَرِيمٌ. You fought so that people will say he is courageous, defending us. فَقَدْ قِيلَ. And it was said to you, so you have been given your reward. فَأُمِرَ بِهِ وَصُحِبَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. صُحِبَ عَلَى وَجْهِ حَتَّى أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّاسِ. Ordered that he be dragged on his face and thrown in the fire. وَرَجُلٍ. وَذَلِكَ وَهَذَا الشَّاهِدُ. And this is the important point. تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ وَعَلَّمَ وَقَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ. A person who learns about Islam and taught it. Not learn, but also taught it. وَقَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ. Memorized all of the Qur'an. فَأُتِيَ بِهِ. On the Day of Judgment he will be brought in front of Allah. فَعَرَّفَهُ نِعَمَهُ فَعَرَفَهُ. Shown everything that Allah gave him of a blessing. And he shall recognize the blessings of Allah. مَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا. What did you do with what we have given you? قَالَ تَعَلَّمْتُ الْعِلْمَ وَعَلَّمْتُ وَقَرَأْتُ فِيكَ الْقُرْآنَ. I read the Qur'an for you, and I learned and I taught people for you. قَالَ كَذَا. You lie. إِنَّكَ تَعَلَّمْتُ لِيُقَالَ عَالِمًا. You only learned تلففه في هي إذا عالم، وقرأ ليقال هو قارئ. And you read so that people say, MashaAllah, listen to how beautiful he reads. He is a hafiz of the Quran. He is the imam. He is the mufti. So that people will praise you. And it was said, فَأُثِيَ بِهِ فَأُمِرْ فَصُحِبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ حَتَّى أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ. Ordered that he be taken and thrown in the fire. So not because you memorize the Qur'an that this is something that saves you from ever being punished by Allah. But it is something that when you enter the Jannah, you shall see the great blessings of what you have done. Because after Allah has cleansed you, you shall have a na'im. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human being can even imagine. This is the Jannah. So this is why when you read the Qur'an and when you study the Qur'an, you do it out of the fear of Allah with ikhlas. And this is something you must teach your children. When you take them to the dukti, fi anat'alimtu al-sumari. When you take them, did I say it right? You take them, they should not be counting the minutes when they have to leave. And they should not be there only because my father said, or my mother made me come. But it should be out of the love of the Qur'an. I give you an example. One of the people in the community came to one of the shuyukh and he told him, I wish for you to teach my son the Qur'an. So I will bring him for you to your class so that he may learn. So he brought his young child, 7 years old, to the class. And he told him to wait outside. And he came and he had a dark black bag. And he came to the teacher and he told him, take this, and he opened it and it was a gift. Wrapped. Hadiyah. Take this, and when my son comes in, you give it to him like you are giving it. Don't tell him it's from who? From me. Tell him that this is the gift of me, the Imam, to you because you have come to learn the Qur'an. So the Shaykh said, okay. The father told the child, come in. And the Shaykh gave him the gift and he said, this is my gift to you for coming to learn the Qur'an. And after you memorize 10 surahs, you will have another gift. Because his father said, every time you see that he has done good, tell me and I will give him a good gift. What do you think the child did? You tell me. Inta al-an, a young 7-year-old, as soon as he walks in the masjid, his father has already given the imam something to give him. When you memorize 10 surahs, you get something else. I tell you that if this child, you would have even given him a pen or a small book and you told him it is a gift, he would have loved it the same. Because it's the thought that counts. It's not what it is, but it is that you are giving him something. So he enjoyed it. And every time he would learn, he would be given something that helped him more, motivated him more. And this is what the action of who? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you see the pillars, the posts in the masjid? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would turn dates, thumbs, inside the masjid on top, in the pole of the masjid. Why did the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam need to tie the date? So that the young children outside would see it. And when they were done playing and they were hungry, where would they go? To the masjid. Shaykh al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See how he teaches the ummah. But yet, in some masajid, you see the children, it is as if they are in jail. Don't move. Sit here. Don't speak. Don't act. Don't eat. Don't talk. and he's 5 years old. How can you tell him this? This was not the way the Prophet ﷺ ordered. You see that the Rasul ﷺ, when he was in salah, he would make his salah short because he heard a child cry. The Prophet ﷺ, when the young child sat on his back, Al-Hasan al-Husayn, he's in sujood, they sat on his back. What did he do? Did he push them? He waited until one of the Sahaba, يعني a long time, he said, I have to raise my head to see if the Rasul ﷺ is okay. Maybe someone attacked him. And he saw that they were sitting on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you see? This was the action of the Rasul ﷺ. And it's important to point out that there is a hadith that is mawdu'a. It is fabricated, it is a lie. Where someone has said that the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah does not permit two types of people to enter the masjid, the young child wal-majnoon, and the one who is not normally balanced in his brain. This hadith is mawdu'a, is not authentic. Children are allowed to enter the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ was given khutbat al-jumu'ah, and he saw al-Hasan beginning to cry. He stopped the Jumu'ah khutbah, came down from the minbar, carried al-Husayn al-Hasan, and he patted him until he became quiet. And then went up the minbar and gave a khutbah like nothing had ever happened. Rahmah, mercy. We see in Fath al-Ba'i, in Sahih al-Bukhari, there's a famous hadith. It is one line. يَا أَبَا النُّعَيْرِ يَا أَبَا عُمَيْرِ مَاذَا فَعَلِ النُّعَيْرِ. This one statement of the Prophet ﷺ, there was a young child named, the Prophet ﷺ gave him the kunya, أَبَا عُمَيْرِ. أَبَا عُمَيْرِ. Maybe 5 or 6 years old. He used to have a bird, a sparrow, a small bird in a cage that he used to play with. It was his favorite toy. This young sparrow, this young bird in the cage. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day heard that the bird died. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to his house. يعني it's a young child. Went to his house and told him, يا أبا عمير ماذا فعل النعيم. Oh Abu Umayr, what happened to your bird? Al-Imam Ibn Hajar gives you 100 mas'ala, 100 different fiqh points from this hadith. For example, from what I can remember, that you are allowed to have a bird in a cage. How to speak to a child to describe to him al-maut. The Prophet ﷺ went to him and told him, you tell me what happened to your bird. What did it do? Did it die? Explain to me so that the young child can understand أن الموت والحياة بيد الله. يا أبا عمير ماذا فعل النعيم. Understanding what to do with the bird after it dies. Do you bury it or not? All of these different issues. Can a young child have a kunya? Abu Umayr, the father of Umayr, yet the child is 5 years old. All of these fiqh points from this one sentence. Oh Abu Umayr, what happened to your bird? So this was the way the Prophet ﷺ taught the children. We see in the hadith, the Rasul ﷺ in Sunnah al-Tirmidhi and it's sahih, whenever he walked in the road and he saw young children, he would stop and go to them and shake each one of their hands and say, As-salamu alaykum. Taking time to show them that he is looking after them, that he is concerned for them. We walk by in our buildings on Dixon Road and we will see Muslims. Not one will raise his head to you, a man, and say, As-salamu alaykum. Am I lying? Not to a child, to another grown Muslim man dressed in jalabiyah. Why? We have forgotten the adab of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's important that our children learn that this Qur'an, it is not something that is hard, difficult, something that they, it's hard for them to learn. Listen why Allah sent the Qur'an. طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى. We did not bring down the Qur'an to you, O Muhammad, so that it is hard for you. Why did it come down? إِلَّا تَذْكِرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى. Only a reminder to those who wish to be fearing Allah. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought down the Qur'an for. Do not make the Qur'an hard for your children. Make them love the words of Allah. Explain to them what is in the Qur'an. Why is it important? Why do we memorize? Why do we read it? I am sure that if I come to one of the Qur'an classes and I ask the children, what is the reward of memorizing the Qur'an? Many of them will not know. Huh? They don't know the Jannah. They don't know that when they are in Jannah, they have whatever they wish. Speak to your children in a way that they will understand and take from you and learn. And this is best done through you. Wallahi, when I was in North Carolina, a young Muslim sister asked me an embarrassing question in front of her parents. She was 9 years old. And she said, what if a young child, ma'a su'ad, what if a young child wakes up with a tahajjud but her parents don't want? What should she say to them? SubhanAllah. This young child asking a question that made her parents begin to cry as they stood there. If I wake up and I pray, how do I wake my parents? What can I do to wake them? And this was the action of also Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas, when the Prophet ﷺ died, he was only maybe 13 years old, very young. But yet whenever he used to visit the Prophet's house, he would stay awake the whole night. The Prophet ﷺ sometimes used to let him sleep over in his house. Ibn Abbas says, I would cover my face and pretend I am sleeping to see how the Prophet ﷺ did his action. And this was something that was beautiful. When you see a young child looking at the Prophet ﷺ, and this is where we get one of the ahadith of wudu. The hadith of Ibn Abbas and the hadith of who? Who can tell me? Uthman. And also Ali. The hadith of Uthman wa Ali wa Ibn Abbas. He says the Prophet ﷺ, he woke up and he went to the water spout and he made wudu in such a manner and he stood to pray tahajjud. What did Ibn Abbas do? He ran, made wudu, فَتَوَضَّأْتُ مِثْلَ وُضُوءِ, in the same way he did. And then he stood on the left side of the Prophet ﷺ. فَأَخَذَنِي, the Prophet ﷺ held him by his ear lightly and pulled him to the right side until I stood beside him. فَأَمَّنِي بِالصَّلَاةِ, and then the Prophet ﷺ led Ibn Abbas in salah. Where do we get this hadith of tahajjud? From this young child, Ibn Abbas. Here is an important question. What do I think of striking children in hopes of them learning the Quran, hitting the child? This is something that I do not see as proper. وَإِنْ أَرَى فِيهَا أَنَّهَا تَجُوزُ, it is permitted. But I do not see that it is something that should be done. Especially I say this because I'm a person who was raised in this country and I also learned some of the Qur'an. Never did I learn your child, أَقُولْ لَكُمْ, never will your child learn lots of the Qur'an by you forcing him. You will never be able to make your son or daughter hafiz. Believe me, it is not something you can do. It has to, طبعاً it is from Allah, but it is something that they themselves wish to do. So your son, he may memorize na'am, juz amma, juz tabara, he may memorize the last five juz of the Quran, but he will forget them once he is old enough that you do not hit him. Once he is away from you. But he will memorize, yes, when you are near him. But once he is alone, or you are no longer present, he will not be doing what he does when you are there. And this is not something that is proper. This is why I say it is not proper. Although it may be something permitted. Some children, they need certain types of different forms of discipline. But we say the rules of the Sharia stand. That striking the child, hitting the child, it is to be done without leaving a mark. Not out of anger. بِغَيْرِ غَضَبٍ. And this is where many parents are wrong. They hit the child because they are angry. And once you do this, you are now doing something that is not permitted. You should not be striking out of anger, but out of nasiha, as a way of correction. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Especially when we see that never once did his hand or anything that he held strike another person except in jihad. Never did the Prophet ﷺ strike his wife or a child or one of his helpers, Anas ibn Malik. He says, I would be ordered by the Prophet ﷺ to do something, and then I would see the boys playing and I would run to play with them and leave what the Prophet ﷺ has ordered me, and then I would see him coming. And all that he would say was, have you done what I asked? And Anas would become so embarrassed that he did not do it, so he would rush to fulfill the order of the Prophet ﷺ. Not because he is afraid of being punished. Although we see in the authentic ahadith in Bukhari, teach your child how to pray 7 years, and when he is 10 years old, fadribu. Strike him once he does not pray when he is 10 years old, as a way of showing him that salah is not to be missed. But in memorizing the Quran, you must understand that it is something that he must begin to enjoy and love. For him to carry it till the day he meets Allah. Or else, yes, he may memorize, but not because of Allah. And once you are no longer there, it will not benefit him and he will forget it. And this is something that we see in the community. Something that we should try to bring about a change to. So, inshallah, 5 minutes before Al-Adhan, we will stop now, unless there is a question maybe about the Quran or something that you wish to ask. We will stop for you to have the ability to make wudu and pray the sunnah, inshallah. Khalas, tafadhal. Meaning in one stop, he has to. No. No. Being taken away from concentration. No. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us in the Qur'an and through the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that a person may be distracted from reading the Qur'an or in salah. And this is why we are ordered to make al-isti'adah. Even if you are in salah, you can say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Right? This is something that you can do. And when you say this, the shaitan will move away from you if you are saying it with sincerity, with ikhlas, and truly firm that you are saying, Ya Allah, I ask you to help me push away the shaitan. That is what is ista'adha. So if you are saying this, inshallah, no, none of this will happen. Another thing is, the place where you pray, try to make it a place that is easy to pray in, clean, and the floor is not too hard, it is not dirty, it's not dusty. Many people, the light around you is not too dark, especially if you're praying at night. Things that will help you in concentrating to Allah. Another thing is, one should not close his eyes in salah. The Prophet ﷺ, and some of the ulama have said it is permitted, but the majority of the scholars say that closing your eyes in salah is something that should not be done, because it gives your mind the ability to begin to imagine things, and this is something you should not do. In salah, the person should be focused, knowing that he is now standing in front of Allah. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا فَسَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. That you are now facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He knows what you are thinking and what you are doing, and therefore in salah you are turned to Allah with full grasp and attention to Him. So this is something that we can all benefit in, because everyone in salah, the shaytan will take from it, keep taking from it. As the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَخْطَفِتُ الشَّيْطَانِ. The shaytan, for example, he may take from you a look, you will look away this side, he will keep grabbing at certain things, keep taking from certain things in the salah. So this is how we try to gather our concentration. Know that it is with Allah that we are praying, to Allah that we are praying, and that when we are reading the Quran, it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After making an isti'adah, making a good wudu, praying in a clean place, all of these things inshaAllah will help. Now, in terms of da'wah, this is a question that the ulama are indifferent. You mean the Quran in Arabic? Or the English translation? If it is a Quran that is Arabic English, and you see that this person will benefit, will have good hope in accepting, then yes. But if it is just a person you do not know, you've never spoken to him, and you just give, this is something that is not permitted, wallahu a'lam. Because there is no sabab, there is no reason that would make you think that this person will benefit from it. And especially when we see that even some of the ulama have shown that the Quran, it should be preserved from the disbelievers. Because we really do not know what they do with it, where they take it. But I tell you, there are many Muslims now who were not Muslims before, who have read just one ayah. For example, there is a Muslim brother, he became Muslim from reading one ayah in the Quran. He was given a Quran, and he says, being a person, from Western, we never read the introduction. We always skip to the first chapter right away. So he thought Surah Al-Fatiha was what? The introduction. So he didn't read Al-Fatiha. He turned to where? Surah Al-Baqarah. And it said, Alif Lam Mim. He goes, I didn't understand what it was saying. And then, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْدَ فِيهِ. This is the book of truth with certainty, no doubt in it. He said, once I read that, I said, I am going to be Muslim. And he came and he asked, I told him, how could you be sure now you want to be Muslim? And he said, my whole life, I have been given so many choices. If you want, for example, to buy a pizza, they'll give you 100 different choices of toppings. But you want to watch television, 60 channels. This is how they are. This society, hundreds of choices. But he goes, when I opened the Quran, he gave me one. This is the book of truth with certainty, no doubt. It is the one, halal. Anything after it, this is how he understood it. And right there he said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Also, I'll give you another example. Another person was raised adopted. His family was very rich. They were millionaires. And then they were driving and they hit something in the road. His father and mother died. The money that was left to whom? His uncle. He was given, his uncle took him to be raised with him. His uncle took all of this millions of dollars and never spent anything on him. Took it all away. And then when he was given a Quran, he would just open it. And he reads in the Quran, the first ayah he reads, it says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Those who eat from the property of the orphans, oppressing them and don't give them their due, they are only eating fire in their bellies. He says, once I read this, I knew that a religion that can describe the same thing I felt in a book 1,400 years old has to be the truth. The same situation. From that time to my time, I still felt the pain. قال لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. So for such a person, if there is benefit, نعم يجوز. But if it is a person who there is no hope, or you do not know who he is, or who has not asked, then I see that it should not be given to him. Wallahu a'lam. If they request it and you see that they are sincere, come on. استفتح قلبك. See what your heart tells. You know that this is the book of Allah. You know that you should not give it to those who are not deserving. If you feel he is deserving and he has asked, khalas, you give. This is the criteria he would use. Wallahu a'lam. So we will stop here inshaAllah. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.